This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Most colleges and universities in Maryland are at least 3 weeks into their fall semester. And if we go on research, that means many college freshmen are at least 3 weeks into their peak drinking season. According to the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, college freshmen are most vulnerable to heavy drinking during the first 6 weeks of school. Student safety has been in many people's thoughts lately after a Towson University freshman, Julia Margaret Ratnaraj, died in an off-campus apartment a week and a half ago. Friends said she had been drinking, although the extent of the role alcohol played in her death is not yet clear. She died from head and neck injuries sustained when she fell into a glass door, and her death was ruled an accident. We want to get a better understanding of what some local colleges are doing to prevent harm and address the issue of excessive drinking. For starters, we asked two seniors at UMBC, the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, how they defined excessive drinking. Both are 21, over the legal drinking age. We hear first from Yujing Kang, then from Caroline, who preferred to use only her first name.
I think excessive drinking is when it starts to begin affecting your schoolwork, your relationships, even your coherence of what is going on.
I think that it's basically just a lack of inhibitions. This could be the level of seeing people kind of push or shove each other, the touchy-feeliness of being drunk that you see a lot on college campuses.
Joining me now is Dr. Amelia Aria, Associate Professor in the University of Maryland College Park's Department of Behavioral and Community Health and Director of the Center on Young Adult Health and Development at the University of Maryland School of Public Health. Dr. Aria, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And also with us, again, on the line from Frostburg State University is Jeff Graham, FSU's Assistant Vice President for Student and Educational Services. Jeff Graham, thanks for being with us again.
Thank you. My pleasure to be part of the conversation.
Dr. Aria, you heard what those UMBC students said. Would you define for us what constitutes excessive drinking?
Excessive drinking is defined as 4 or more drinks on one occasion for a female and 5 or more drinks on one occasion for a legal age male. So you can really just define it on the basis of how much and how often you're drinking.
What does the research tell us about the percentage of students who drink and how much?
Well, while we find that close to 40% drink excessively in any given time, almost two-thirds at a lot of universities are not drinking at all or very little. And that's something that we're trying to do is give those non-drinking students a louder voice.
What factors play into how much a student drinks?
Drinking patterns are established in high school, so that plays a big role, and related to that are parent attitudes. So parents who allow drinking in high school are more likely to have children who go on to drink excessively in college. So the earlier you drink, the more likely it is that you'll have problems later. Another big issue is access and availability, or having a false ID that allows you to have access to underage drinking and social activities. And then having overinflated attitudes about the social benefits of alcohol or the stress-reducing power of alcohol, which really are not true. And also they tend to underestimate the negative consequences of drinking.
Jeff, what kind of education does Frostburg try to give students, especially new students?
Well, certainly we have population-level training in terms of requiring all students, whether they're incoming freshmen or incoming transfer students, pre-matriculation, we require them to complete an online education program on alcohol prevention as well as sexual assault prevention. And certainly, you know, we have some environmental level programs that involve deterrence activities in terms of how we police communities and how we interact with our community coalitions.
Amelia, do you have a sense of what messages students at College Park get?
It's pretty much the same, but I think that one of the most important things that we're learning from the research is that education alone is not going to prevent high-risk drinking, that it leads to more educated drinkers, but in order to change the behavior, you're going to need a more intensive approach that identifies high-risk drinkers and deals with their drinking patterns one-on-one. And you're also going to have to look at the environment to reduce access and availability to alcohol in order to reduce the problem, because education alone does not seem to change behavior.
So even when young people know the risks, they take them anyway.
Exactly. I mean, they are wired, they're neurodevelopmentally wired to take risks. So if you tell them that something is risky and they're a risk taker, they're much more likely to say, bring it on. I'll take that risk and I'll tell a great story about it.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Dr. Amelia Aria, director of the Center on Young Adult Health and Development at the University of Maryland School of Public Health, and also with Jeff Graham, Frostburg State University's Assistant Vice President for Student and Educational Services. When we spoke about a year ago, we talked a lot about the culture of drinking and an expectation that students have, especially freshmen. And so I want to play another clip from UMBC senior Yujin Kang.
And I think this ties a lot, kind of with like the distance that even comes with the social media, maybe, that is so present within our generation, where we're not really talking to people face-to-face all the time. You know, we're interacting a lot over electronic means. And so what is that common ground that we want to kind of reach for? It seems to be alcohol.
So let me ask either of you, what about this idea of alcohol as a common bond? How do you address that mindset?
Well, I think from the research that we've done, we've seen that in the earlier years of college, early in the college career, students do buy into the fact that that is the fabric of their bond. But then when you ask them in their fourth year of college what impeded them to achieving their goals, a lot of them point to peer relationships and partying, and they look at trying to get a job and they say, wow, I wasted a lot of time and it was really distracting to see things that way.
So if there were some way to get the freshmen to understand what the seniors understand. Jeff, what are your thoughts about alcohol as a bond and how you address that?
You know, obviously there's a lot of social learning theory that takes place in the development of students as they're, you know, kind of leaving that adolescent phase into young adulthood. And social influences can be very powerful. You know, affiliation can be very powerful. I think that's why you see that there tends to be higher drinking rates among students affiliated with Greek life, meaning fraternities and sororities, or students affiliated with athletic teams. We specifically do a significant level of program for our student athlete population that's really geared toward, you know, changing behaviors and educating students about other ways that they could affiliate. And we do similar programs for Greeks.
Dr. Aria, should we think of these first weeks of heavy drinking among freshmen as a passing phase, or does it set up a pattern that continues?
Well, again, what we've shown from the research is that students who drink excessively in their first year are likely to escalate their drinking patterns over the college career. And once people turn 21, their drinking actually increases. So I think it's a little bit of a myth to say that the problem is only among freshmen. Certainly the problem even gets worse. So the time to intervene and identify high-risk students might be the first year.
So for the student who thinks drinking may be causing some damage in their lives or the lives of another student they care about, where can they go for help on campus?
Most colleges and universities are going to have a counseling center or counseling and psychological services, and that's always a good place to start. Many universities are also going to have alcohol and other drug prevention offices that can be very useful, and I think that you're going to see an increasing number of colleges and universities that are using kind of a basic kind of screening model where they're actually screening students in a number of different venues, whether it be a university health center or through the student conduct office or other areas where they're able to kind of funnel students, if you will, into either some kind of brief motivational interaction or some kind of or even maybe treatment if necessary. But again, drinking in general, it's very difficult for young people, let alone an older adult population, to admit when they have some issues with alcohol and actually seek treatment or seek resources that can help them.
It's a big challenge. I really appreciate you talking to us about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Amelia Aria is Associate Professor in the Department of Behavioral and Community Health at College Park and Director of the Center on Young Adult Health and Development at the University of Maryland School of Public Health. Jeff Graham is Assistant Vice President for Student and Educational Services at Frostburg State University. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Also there, more of this interview, and more of our interviews with Eugene Kang and Caroline with their ideas about ways to reduce excessive drinking. I'm Sheila Cass, just ahead, taking the financial pulse of the new casino. Stay with us on 88.1.